I tell you, I enjoyed my trip to Israel. And since I've been to Israel, I'm now more think about the location. Whenever there's something that I read in the Bible, I want to know where it happened. I want to know the location. So with that, I'm going to have Dale put that map up for me. I have it in the back of my Thompson chain. There is a map that's going to tell us where this all started, where it all happened, where it started. Well, it started in Caesarea. Now, understand, there are two Caesareas. There is a Caesarea Maritime, which is located on the Mediterranean coast, and that's where chapter 26 of Acts took place when Paul went before King Agrippa and Felix. It was in Caesarea. All right, do I have my pointer? I'm looking from there. We go. Okay, there we go. Here we go. There's Jerusalem. There's Jerusalem and there's Caesarea. Okay, chapter 26 of Acts is where Paul is before King Agrippa. That's where we're at right there. Now, Paul has to go all the way over here to Rome. Paul has to end up in Rome, and he will end up in Rome. But there is his trek down under Crete, along the coastline of Asia. There's those stars represent the seven churches that Apostle John spoke about. The Isle of Patmos is right there. And that's where John was exiled, and there's the seven churches of Asia. But I noticed that the ships travel along, they hug the coastline. Why is that? Does anybody have an idea? Why? What happens when you go out here in the open sea? Why don't they just do this? What happens here? Bad storms. So they always try to hug the coast because the open water means a lot of storms, bad storms. They had sails. And what other form of power did they have other than sails? Or wouldn't that be fun? So what do you think happens when the wind is contrary? When they say the wind's contrary, what does that mean? It's blowing in the wrong direction. Huh? Did you ever try to sail into the wind when it's blowing in the wrong direction? So they put the sails down. What do? They oar. Oh, boy. It's great when the wind's at your back and the wind's helping you, but when the wind is not, it's contrary. That's what the scripture says. So if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 27 of Acts, chapter 27. Like I said, I have no outline today to follow other than just a few verses I wrote down and put down what the verse is talking about. We need prayer first. Father in heaven, for everyone that hears this word, I pray that they'll receive this word and understand it and be able to put it to work in their life immediately. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As a title, I guess you could just call it meditation. I assume that you all know what meditation means. You can take portions of God's word and you meditate on it. Sometimes it might be just a verse. Maybe it's a whole chapter. If any of you have read the Bible through, you'll know that there's times and places in there that really get sticky, get a little sticky. What I mean by that is sometimes you read it and you don't get nothing out of it. You ever read it and get nothing out of it? You read it and you just got done reading it and you know, I have no idea what it's saying here. That happens sometimes. It happens, especially in Leviticus when you get in around all those ceremonials. There's a good spot to get sticky. Or the genealogies. Oh, brother. The genealogies. So there's ways to try to get something out of it. Meditate. Focus on it. Think about it. Think about what you read. And you read it and you still didn't get anything out of it. Well, read it again. And read it again. And if you get tired of reading it, just say, now, Lord, it's about the fourth time I went through here and I still ain't getting nothing, so I need your help. If you need help, ask for it. You have not because you ask not, right? So I decided to use the map up here today because we're going to go along here, and it says that verse 1 says, when it was determined that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners onto a man by the name of Julius. He was a centurion of the Augustus band. Now, we'll find later in the chapter that there's 276 of them. Now, that took a pretty big boat. That took a pretty big boat, 276. And then in verse 2, it says they entered into the ship. And then it says, I'm just skipping through here, to sail by the coast of Asia. And so that's talking about this. Oops, I don't have the map. We'll get it. So they were sailing along the coast of Asia. The next day they touched Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go on to his friends to refresh himself. Isn't that nice? I'll tell you what happened. Paul was probably the type of guy that you could get to be friends with pretty easily. And so we see that the centurion probably just really got to be friends with Paul. He liked Paul and gave him liberty to go on to his friends. That was nice. Good job, centurion. And so then at verse 4, I'm showing you how to skip through some of this and still get the good stuff out of it. Verse 4 says the winds were contrary. I talked about that. They were really blowing the wrong direction. Verse 6, the centurion found a ship in Alexandria sailing to Italy, and he put us thereon. All right, that would have taken place. Oh, okay. Is it? Oh. Well, it wasn't when I looked the last time. Oh. Wow. I thought I just looked. Okay. Right here is where they got on a different ship. Everybody see this spot here? Right there they changed ships because they had to get a ship that was going to Italy. Okay, so they got on board Caesarea, went over here above Cyprus, and now they're hugging the coastline of Asia. And that's what that verse is talking about. But they were put on another ship to go to Italy. All right? That's where that took place. Well, then a storm came up. Let's read on a little bit further. Verse 7 said, we sailed slowly many days. That tells me that the wind was contrary. They couldn't use the sails, so they were probably, Jed, oared, right? They were oared. Well, I would imagine that all 270 prisoners were oared. If it was a ship that size, I imagine they had the prisoners busy doing the oaring. But still, when the wind's blowing the wrong direction, you can have 300 people oaring. And when the wind's strong, you're not going to make much time. And that's what it's saying here. It said it was sailed slowly, many days. Verse 9 says sailing was now dangerous. They talked about a fast. They've been sailing. This whole trip's going to be 14 days. And so Paul admonishes them. And that brings us to the verse we started out with, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Now, of course, he's referring to the ship because everybody's going to be saved. Not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. I think the lading has to do with the contents. Is that right? The contents of the ship? Well, they have to get rid of the contents of the ship because the storm's that bad. They just keep throwing stuff overboard. Because it's bad, the storm's bad, and that's what we keep reading right along here. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. I mean, after all, Paul's a prisoner. What would he know? Huh? He's just a prisoner. Obviously, that's what the centurion thought. Well, the centurion was following the wrong advice, by the way. But the centurion isn't following the Holy Spirit like Paul is. Paul's being led of the Holy Spirit. In fact, an angel's guiding Paul. Paul wanted to make that clear, but they still didn't take his advice. He's a prisoner. What does he know? And that's what it says. The centurion believed the master and captain more than the things that Paul had to say. Then it goes on to say there was a place there that wouldn't be good for to stay long. Verse 14, passing on, not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind. And if you can pronounce that, you're better than I am. Okay, evidently they name these storms like we do. The weather people have names for storms. You know that. Anybody remember the storm that was 72? Agnes, see? In those days, they named this storm very much like we do. Obviously, and I don't know if they have certain names because this storm comes from a certain direction. I'm not sure. I'm sure that probably has something to do with it. But this storm was named. The ship was caught and could not bear up under the wind. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. So I know it's not there. I'm going to take you to the island. Okay. I'm going to take you to the island where they had to work on it, right here. They had to work on it. This is where we're at in the verse, right here below Crete. As the scripture says, under Crete, they said, right here is where they're at. This is where they had to work on the ship, right there. But we find out right through here is where the big storm hit, right through here. Wow. And they end up going aground right there on that island. There's where the storm took them, right there's where the storm hit them. The big storm. It was bad all the whole trip. But that's where the big storm hit. Look at verse 18. Being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. That's getting rid of the stuff. Third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They're still making the ship lighter. It's terrible. This storm's awful. They keep throwing stuff overboard. And when neither the sun nor the stars in many days appeared, no small tempests lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. That tells us it was cloudy and the storm was still. They're still in the middle of the storm because they didn't see the stars because it was cloudy. Didn't see the sun either. It was cloudy. That's how it is in Pennsylvania sometimes. There's days we don't see the sun. That don't mean the sun's not shining. It's just that we don't see it. Sun always is shining, folks. When you fly, you'll find that out. You know, when you get in the airplane, you get above the clouds, you see the sun. So that's one thing you need to always understand. The sun is always shining. No matter what kind of a day you're having, the sun is always shining. It's always shining. And so it's telling us here the storm is still there. And verse 21, after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. You should have listened to what I had to say. Now I exhort you, even though you didn't, I'm exhorting you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. The ship will suffer loss. In fact, the hinder part of the ship was broken up. But as far as life is concerned, our lives will all be fine. That's what he's saying. We're just following along. Verse 23, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Isn't that nice? God has given you all of them. What does that mean? I think a lot of them got saved. Maybe most of them got saved. I don't know. What else would it mean? In other words, they're going to be okay. They'll be okay. But Paul wanted to let them know, you're going to be fine. But now wait, the story keeps going on. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Obviously, they must have seen land somewhere. They sounded and found it 20 fathoms. When they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. So they're getting closer to land. Fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast forth anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They thought, you know, it's dark. It's midnight. Remember, it said it's midnight. Who likes to keep going to the shore in the midnight? And you don't know where the rocks are. So they threw the anchors out. They said, you know what? We better stop this boat right now and wait till daylight, till we can see closer. That's what they did. That's what the story's telling us. As the shipmen were about to flee the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under the color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. You must stay on the boat. Do not get off the boat. Stay on the boat. And while the day was coming, Paul besought them all to take meat. Now it's time to eat. Huh? Boy, this little passage here could be used for communion, because listen how it reads. They took meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of you, of any of you. When he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in the ship 216. There you go. That's 276 souls. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Hey, there you can see some of their cargo. When it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore to which they were minded, if they were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Now they're getting ready to go to land. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was, listen to this, this is what the soldiers were told to do. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, I told you they got to be friends, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. And the rest, some on boards, they took pieces of the boards that was broken on the back of the ship. Some of them floated toward the land on these broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped. How many? All. Everybody say all. They escaped all, safe to land, just as Paul had said it would be. So a good example, a good chapter here to think about meditation. How much time do you spend with the Lord? Do you make it a priority? It should be a priority in your life to spend time with him. I think of all the great men of the scriptures spent time with the Lord. How many times did Daniel pray? How many times did you eat? So it's important. So, you know, Daniel thought it was just as important to pray as it was to eat. Pretty good example, don't you think? But we have, the Bible's full of wonderful men that spent time with the Lord. Are you spending time with the Lord? Read a portion of God's word and meditate upon it. Spend time with him. Pick a time during your busy course of life and all of us have families and responsibilities and things to do. But take time to spend with the Lord. It don't always have to be a lot of time, but how about some quality time? You know what quality time means? Take the phone off the hook or turn the cell phone off. Pick a time of the day when nobody's bothering you. Pick a good time that you can just get alone with the Lord. I know some can talk to the Lord in the woods, and that's good. Some of you can talk to the Lord on your porch. I do that sometimes. I sit on the porch, and it's just this morning I got through with what I wanted to do, and I just went out there with a cup of coffee, and I just sat there for a while and just enjoyed life. We get busy. Take time to enjoy life that God's given you. Make spending time with the Lord a priority. Meditation. Focusing on the Lord. Like I said, it don't need to be long, but it should be quality time. Good quality time. Wow. That's what you need. The Lord desires that. He wants fellowship. He wants to hear from you. I know there was times I went before the Lord and I was just so broken, I just didn't really have a lot to say. I just sat with him in silence. But you know what? The Lord heard my heart. He saw my heart. And I just had a quiet time with him. Are you spending quiet times with the Lord? You should be. Because God wants to guide you. He wants to lead you like he did the Apostle Paul. He led him and guided him and told him all about what his journey was going to be. And all of us are on a journey. Some of us might be on a journey longer than others. My grandpa was on a journey of 106 years. What's your journey like? None of you can tell me how many years you got left because we don't know. We don't know. Every day is a gift from God. And any of you that have lost a loved one will know that. Every gift, every day is a gift from God. Take time to meditate. Take time to read his word. Take time to let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you because he wants to. With that in mind, I'm just going to close with this verse. It's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not onto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I had one other one marked. I apologize. There is one more I want to read. Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, listen to this verse. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Isn't that beautiful? Wonderful. I want that for every one of you. I want that passage, that verse for every one of you. I want every one of you that your way would be prosperous and that you would have good success. That's a little different than the prosperity gospel. This is a different prosperity. This is Old Testament. And if you're willing to delight yourself in the Lord and meditate on his word day and night, you will have great success. He wants you to. That's what he said. But you got to do something. You got to make priorities in your life. Make them. Make some priorities this week to spend some time, quality time with the Lord, some quality time with him. Okay? Let's stand. It's time to go home. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. As Lord, as I was preparing for this morning, it really spoke to me. And I apologize because I know that sometimes I get too busy to really to really do some spending some quality time with you. I apologize. I'm sorry, Lord. I want you to help me to do better. I want to spend more time with you. You've done so much for me. Surely I can spend some time with you. Thank you for suffering for me and dying for me, loving me and forgiving me. What a privilege and honor I have to stand in your presence today, to handle you and share your word to so many. It really is a privilege and an honor that I do not take lightly. Thank you so much. Lord, I've been enjoying the days. I've been enjoying the week so far. And Lord, we have a whole new week ahead of us. And so, Lord, I ask you that you'll be with us. Help us to set those priorities in order to read your word and spend some time with you. Help us to do that. And I know, Lord, that you'll be blessed and you'll be honored. And we will have a prosperous and successful life. Thank you so much. Thank you for the word. And thank you for our time together today. And until we see one another, we praise you and rejoice in all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.